Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. All I want to say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, and yesterday, I was just like, oh, I don't think I'm going to be doing a vlog tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm going to sleep in. And, you know, God has a way of waking you up good and early to say, don't you have work to do? And so I am awake. I am thankful. I am grateful, and I am blessed. Happy Thanksgiving, moving forward, family. I am grateful to be your host, and I'm grateful to read a word of God. We're not going to be very long today. I am actually only reading from Psalm. It is my pastor's favorite, one of her favorite scriptures. I found out on her birthday that it was not the favorite like I thought it was, but that it was one of her favorites. And she speaks it very frequently on Sundays because it's about brethren dwelling together in unity. And that, if anything, on this Thanksgiving day, what I pray is for us as sisters and brothers to be in unity, to be unified in love. And the title God gave me is coming out of 1 Peter. And it just, chapter 1, it says, love one another reverently with a pure heart. So if nothing else on this Thanksgiving day, we need to love each other. So thanking God this morning for all of you. Those that listen live and those that listen later. Father God in heaven, I say to you this morning, thank you. For I say every morning, Lord, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be your daughter, to be a child of the Most High God, and to read your word with a loving heart, because I love your word and I love you, Lord. Father God, I lift up everyone that listens in. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again, Father God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness. For all things come from you and are by you. So, Lord God, I ask you this morning, as we go through this day of Thanksgiving, to lead us, to guide us, to show us the way. And Father God, as I read your word this morning, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your loving and gracious sight. Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer. Without you, there is no me. And I can do nothing more than say thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me, Lord God, for helping me to grow, for helping me to be better, a better woman of God, and a better daughter. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the loving, kindest, most gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, who is my friend, my Savior, my everything. And it's in his name I pray. thanking God for each and every one of the morning that are listening in. Whew, that are just being who they are, wonderful, mighty men and women of God. So thanking you, God. Thanking you, God, for this wonderful day of Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Giving thanks, praise, woo, to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And grateful. Started in the Word. Because it is what? A good word this morning. So we will be in Psalms, we will be in Proverbs, and we will be in our main title this morning, which is 1 Peter. Wow. And so, guess what? New word, y'all. New word, new chapter. So we got something special this morning. As always, our words in 10 words or less. What does the Bible say? So I am on speaker this morning. So I hope you can hear me well. If not, those that listen in, please just hit the number one and say, don't hear you very well, and I'll open your line so I can do a different source. But this morning I am on speaker, so we may be just a tad different. And the word of the Lord in Psalms. And the word of the Lord says this. Behold, and we are in Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. And I love this word. Again, it's one of my pastor's favorite scriptures that she loves to speak on because it speaks of unity. And on this day of Thanksgiving, we as men and women of God have got to unify as a body of Christ. And I'm not talking no one word church or any of that nonsense. I'm just talking about love. Loving each other as the Father loves us. Grateful and knowing that you're blessed on this day of Thanksgiving and every day. Every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. Every day should be a day of love because God loves us unconditionally. And we should love each other the same way. And it says this, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Praise the Lord. And this is what Proverbs 29:6 says. By transgression an evil man is snared. The righteous sings and rejoices. So we sing and we rejoice today that one, God gave us a do-over. He gave us another day. Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Hallelujah. 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 All filled up this morning. My mother is here. And my sons and I. My daughter is in Florida today. My granddaughter is part of the United States. I guess it's the USA National Cheer Squad. And so she is cheering at Disney World. I believe it was on yesterday that she cheered at Disney World. So shout out to my granddaughter, Caitlin, for just doing a great job, keeping her grades up and doing other things. She's an all-around student, and I'm very proud of her. So thanking God for my girls, that's what I call them, my girls, as well as my awesome sons and son-in-law. So thanking God for all of you as we continue in the Word. And so I want y'all to do that hand clap. We're about to start a new chapter, a new book. Woo-hoo! So y'all know I get excited about when we get to a new book. So today we are going into 1 Peter. And it says this. Who was the author of 1 Peter? The Apostle Peter. With the assistance of Silvanus, our Silas. It was written approximately A.D. 65. And the 10 words are left. Suffering for the sake of Jesus is noble and good. Woo! Say it again. Suffering for the sake of Jesus is noble and good. Summing up 1 Peter in 10 words or less. And some details. As the early church grows, the Roman Empire begins persecuting Christians. And Peter assures them that God is still in control. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. What is the proper response in such suffering? Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. 4 and 13, quotable, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom ye may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And we need to read that one more time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Because we know in Job, when he went up to heaven to be with the sons of man, before God kicked him completely out, and Jesus locked the doors and the gates, because he took the keys to heaven after his death. We know that's in the Word. But understand at that time he's walking. What did he say? I'm walking to and fro. Walking to and fro across the earth. In other words, I'm going from here to there to do what? Devour. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Don't get it twisted. He's always there trying to see what he can do to the children of God. Unique and unusual about 1 Peter. Peter clarifies exactly how many people wrote out the great flood on Noah's Ark. 8. So if anybody tells you something different, it was 8. It was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 to that is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Genesis indicates that Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, Genesis 7:7, were in the boat, but leave unsaid whether any sons might have had multiple wives. Never thought about that. But I believe it was 8. And it doesn't say, and his sons' wives. And it says, were in the boat, but least unsaid whether any sons might have had multiple wives. Don't know, didn't say. I went with 8. But 8 is what? A new beginning. So what? Is what this it says. Life may be hard. Always good. And for Christians, there's a much better day ahead. Hallelujah. Isn't that an awesome way to start our morning with a word that's going to let us know that there's a much better day ahead. Hallelujah. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be a child of God and to know that God's word is going forth like always. And I had to say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Because I will be honest to everybody, your sister in Christ was sleeping and sleeping real good. Because I had not had much sleep since Monday. Well, that God gave me peaceful rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And let's get started in this First Peter word. And then we're going to wrap it up. And you guys are going to go and have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. A wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving day. Because we're going to be thankful and grateful, knowing that we are blessed to be given another day. Hallelujah. Blessed to be given another day because somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody is not going to have a Thanksgiving except for on the other side, which I don't know. I want to say I think it's going to be a lot more fun because you're going to be with all those that have gone ahead of you. You know, the uncles, the aunties, the cousins and friends that have gone on before you. You're going to get to spend a day of Thanksgiving. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving on the other side. Every day you get to praise God because absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord, praising him and thanking him. Ooh, what a day, what a day. A rejoicing that will be, as the song says, when we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout for victory. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, excuse me, y'all. Let me go back and read that again because I want to make sure we get it in context. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. I'm going to read that again. That just touched my heart. Let's go there. And we are in verse number 7, that 6 and 7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We have gone through some stuff this year. Through so many different things. But God, all we can say is thank you, Lord, on this day of Thanksgiving. We've gone through. So many have lost loved ones and family and friends. So many have gone through financial difficulties. So many have gone through just life. And it hasn't been easy. But God, he's with us through our good, through our bad, and he's with us through our downright ugly. But understand, as we go through this word, it says in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. We are loved beyond measure. We are loved beyond measure by our Father God. And that is why we say thank you. Even when we're going through, thank you, Lord. I don't know why I'm going through this situation, but I know that it's for a purpose and a reason. And I say thank you, Lord. Lord, I don't know why my family's going through this. I don't know why we're going through that, but I know that it's for a purpose and a reason, and I thank you, Lord. I don't know why I got all this stuff, a mess I got to deal with, Lord, and I know that everything is working for my good, and I thank you, Lord. We got to learn how to say thank you, because you never know. With nobody that you know will have a tomorrow. You will never know that the last word someone says to you when they say, I love you, might be the last word you hear from them. And you say, I love you back, because you never know what God's will is. What the Lord wills is what we must say every day. I'll be on tomorrow, Lord's will. Because we don't know what the Lord's will is. We don't know what God has planned for us for tomorrow. So we take every day with a grateful, thankful, and blessed heart, knowing that we are loved. And it goes on to tell us, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Salvation of your souls. And then Peter goes on to tell us, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Isaiah told us what would happen, that he would be bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement would be upon him. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all already. And it goes on to tell us the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. You by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Note, Peter did not say that he preached in his own flesh, that he preached in the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. We cannot preach in the flesh. It has to be from the Holy Spirit from heaven. We thank God daily for giving us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to keep that light shining. When people see you, they should see the light of God in you. Time. You should be lit up. and not lit up with anything but the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And as Peter continues, he says to us, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, we must be holy, for he is holy. Again, you should be that light, that beacon, that when people see your smile, they see Jesus in it. And as we continue in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself without the time of your Savior in fear. We each are judged individually by God according to our work and conduct, according to how we live, according to how we give, according to what we do. No one can go to heaven or hell for you. You can only go on your own. What is your destination? Because we all know that your attitude will determine your altitude. Thank you, Prophetess Renee. Your attitude will determine your altitude. Are you gloomy and doomy all the time? Are you always talking about the past? Are you always talking about what is and whining and complaining all the time? Give thanks to God that you're still here. Give thanks to God that he gave us you another day. I'm thankful. You know, I could go back and I said, Lord, remove all those things that were not like you from my remembrance. Take away anything from my heart, my mind, and my spirit not like you. Easy to fall into the doldrums. Been there, done that. Had the depression. Still digging out of it. Went down that dark road where you just don't want to do anything but sleep. Not understanding that when you sleep, you will sleep forever. That it will be a last sleep. Get up, go to work, get moving. Because when you're so down that you don't even want to eat, all you want to do is just sleep. It's not a good place. It's not the place that God wants you to be. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to be kind to each other. Brethren dwelling in unity. That's what God wants for his children. And as we continue in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. We're going to go back and read 17 to 19 one more time. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in who? God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren. And this is our title for this morning. Love one another reverently with a pure heart. Ooh, I love that word. Having been born again, not of corruption, our corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And I want to read that one more time, and then we'll complete it, starting at verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says one more time, because it just touches my spirit. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Can y'all say that with me too? The word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And that is our word this morning. But before we go, we're going to do some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first life lesson is this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because we do not have a dead Savior, we have a living hope. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that God will honor all his promises to his faithful children. That hope keeps us going in the darkest of times. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. That man lives. He has lived a good life. And I can tell you this. I believe in my heart, Dr. Stanley, genuine. You know, there's a lot of false teachers and preachers out there. But Dr. Stanley keeps it real. And he tells the truth. And everything that I've read in his word and his life lessons have all been right there. Perfect in word and just what you need on a daily basis. So thanking God. Woo, what a word. And then it goes on to give us 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And Dr. Stanley says a Christian life devoid of joy is not only unbiblical, it's not much worth having. How could we not have joy in our hearts when we know that God loves us, is with us, promises to help us, and wants to bless us forever? Know who you belong to. Don't allow anybody to knock you off your square. Be happy. Be healthy. Knowing that you have a wealth with Jesus Christ. It's not about silver or gold, which tarnish. It's about the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. God gives us everything we need when we need it. And sometimes he gives us a whole lot of stuff. But thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Because that means that he blessed you with overflow, that you can bless somebody else. Thank God daily for
for his grace. Thank God daily for his mercy. Thank God daily for the glory that only God has in your life. For God is that light shining on you in your square. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:13. Rest your hope fully upon the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is both a joyful experience and a serious business. It takes conscious, deliberate, spirit-filled action to ponder God's grace and Jesus' return in such a way that it positively shapes how we live. Praise God. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And our scripture, 1 Peter 1:15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And I'm not speaking to anybody but myself. When we speak, is our words coming out holy? Or are we complaining? Or are we talking about down? Or are we lifting up and asking God to watch over whomever it may be? And I can tell you, this little membrane behind my teeth can go there sometimes, but I ask God, please forgive me, Lord. If I have said anything to hurt anyone, to vilify, to put down anyone, for your words has touched not your prophets in the earth. And we got to not keep putting our mouth on our pastors, putting our mouths on the ministers, on our deacons and elders, and assistant and associate pastors of our churches. We got to lift up and not keep tearing down. Give them to God and watch God work in each of their lives. So I ask God to forgive me from my mouth for saying things I shouldn't say, because I don't want to be double-minded or a hypocrite. So we got to ask forgiveness from the body of Christ and know that we may say things we shouldn't say, and we got to quickly repent and repent with a sincere heart, not just words, oh, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. No, repent. Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We got to speak up and speak out and ask forgiveness. Thankful, grateful, and blessed. Hallelujah. And this is the last that we have, life questions. It says answers to life questions. And I always say, get your pen, get your paper. This is one of those things. And it says, how do I handle a difficult trial? Not of my own doing. There's a whole lot of stuff we go through that is of our own doing. And honestly, I can say this. Most of my situations that I have gone through have been my own doing. Yeah. Listen to everybody but God. And I'm just being honest. You know, what does it say? I told you this. I heard a pastor preach it not too long ago. If your situations can be, whatever it is that's bothering you or making you worry, can be resolved with a check, you don't have any problems. And so I don't have any problems. I don't have any situations. Because I know that everything is done, decent and in order, because I serve a mighty God. And that he said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. According to his riches and glory, which are infinite. So why am I sitting there worrying about what I can do this or that? Stay within your budget. Pray over everything. Don't spend if you don't have. That's it. A whole bunch of folks are running out on tomorrow to spend what they don't have, to score, spending and buying and putting on credit. Not understanding you have to pay that bill off one day. And if you put too much on it, it may take you years to pay off for one day. Ain't worth it. All right, tell my family, you're going to get very little. I mostly give it to my grandchildren because they're kids. Everybody else got jobs. And I give them stuff all through the year. So not wait until just one day of a year to go into debt to buy stuff that they don't even use or want. Put it in an investment account. You know, so I started an investment account. So this is what you got. Now you can put the rest in it. You got to understand everything is for a purpose and a reason. If you start now giving it to God, give everything to God and watch Him multiply it. But don't go into debt tomorrow on Good Friday. Oh, what is it? Black Friday shopping until you drop. If you don't have it, just say, I don't have it. I can't give like I do. Crazy. It's not worth it. It really is not worth it. Give what you can and what you can't. Don't worry about it. It's not worth going into that. And I'm speaking to everybody today. We'll be back tomorrow. And I'll remind you again. But let's not go crazy this year. Let's remember what the reason for the season is. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Don't let folks get you feeling guilty because you can't give this gift or that gift. Give what you can. And sometimes what you can give is just a box of candy. Can give is a candle. What you can give is a lot of love and a big old hug. And it's all right. Give what you can. And don't worry about the rest. Don't let them talk you in to running out on tomorrow like crazy people. I went one Good Friday. I was in my hometown and watched people put up tents, literally put up tents in front of Best Buy. And it was snowing. You're out here in a tent on a snowy night to get what? At Best Buy. And all I could do was shake my head, thank the Lord, and keep on moving. Because it wasn't worth all that. Being up all night in the snow, in the cold, so I could be the first one in Best Buy. And understand what happens is these folks get in line and they run over whoever's in the front anyway. Folks have gotten killed in stores trying to get this gadget or that gadget, trying to get this thing or that thing. And they are saying if you're going to order from online, order now. Because it may not make it by Christmas because the post office is not working like it used to for our nation's postal service. Because there are those that are just in greed, and I'm going to call it like it is, who are greedy and want to privatize it so that it can be made, they can make money from it when it's a constitutional. It's constitutional. Post office is constitutional. It is not meant to make money. It is meant to serve the people of this country. So pray for the post office. Pray that they will get fully staffed. Pray that they will get fully funded by Congress, that they can do what they do for the American people. And for those around the world, let's call it straight. But one more time before we get out of here, how do I handle of my own doing? Because he clarified, not of your own doing. And I'm going to read it again. God knows when we face horrendous situations. He hears our cries. Even those who maintain the closest fellowship with him are not immune to feelings of hopelessness. As I said, been there, done that. That's a I'm hopeless, depressed t-shirt. Many times God allows us to face hopeless circumstances to test and try our faith. It is the hopelessness that forces us to see God. Yes, it does. And it is there that we find strength and refreshment. Hallelujah. Yes, it does. Does God care that your trials make you weary? yet. And he knows every emotion, need, and desire you have. He also knows exactly what it will take to bring you into a more intimate relationship with him. The Apostle Peter addressed his two letters to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Bethania. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. If he were choosing a modern title for his letter, he might consider encouragement for times of hopelessness, a hope for the hurting. Because encouragement and hope is exactly what Peter conveyed to those hurting themselves. I'm sorry, to those hurting believers. These believers face all kinds of persecution. We don't have anything. Nobody's setting you on fire, cutting off your head, or feeding you to the lions for your faith. We are blessed beyond measure to freely, especially in the United States, to be able to freely worship, to be able to freely praise God. We are blessed. And it goes on to say they were beaten, slandered, assaulted, and in some cases would lose their lives for them in Jesus Christ. Peter called them aliens because they held a citizenship not of this world but of the kingdom of God. Still, they faced times of discouragement and needed hope. Peter explained that they could rejoice even in times of trial because of Jesus Christ, the living hope within them, their risen Savior and Lord. Woo! 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus protected them from the power of God. Woo! I'm sorry, Jesus protected them by the power of God. Not from, but by. He protects us from the nasty, evil one. And it goes on to say, so long as we have Jesus, no situation is hopeless. Would you like to enjoy an eternal hope? Yes, I would. Then focus your heart on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, he is working to bring his will and good pleasure to the forefront of your life. Even if you find yourself in a seemingly hopeless situation, know that God has an entirely different view of the details. If you will let him, he will take your life, no matter how bruised and broken, and make something beautiful out of it. Isn't this what hope is all about? Beauty for ashes, gladness instead of sorrow, and a coat of praise instead of fainting. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. This is the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. Therefore, bring to him your afflictions and disappointments. Tell him your sorrows, and he will restore your hope. And I say again as we wrap it up this morning, family, happy Thanksgiving. May the grace of the Lord God abide with and in you, that you have love, you have peace, you have the joy of the Lord on this day of Thanksgiving, and that all things work for your good according to the for you. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a blessed and great day. And one more thing, as always, before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, and then that wraps it all up. And Sister Carolyn, the word for this morning is simply this: every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We all always on the same page. Have a happy Thanksgiving, family. Enjoy your day. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. time. Why? Because he loves you. And he loves you reverently. He loves you with the heart of a Savior. He loves you with a pure heart. So love one another fervently with a pure heart today. Don't let anybody knock you off your square at the family dinner. Don't allow anybody to make you feel bad about your faith. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said. Don't get into it. Just say, well, this is what God said. That I got to love you. So I love you, family. And leave it at that. Just bring your love itself wherever you go and watch God use you. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.